The laws of Trumas, chapter 4. First halacha. One may appoint a shliach, that is a representative, to separate truma on his behalf. However, that representative may not be a non-Jew. Second halacha. There are five types of individuals that are not permitted to separate truma, and if they do, it is not considered truma. They are a deaf mute, a mentally unstable person, a minor, a non-Jew acting on behalf of a Jew, and someone separating from that which is not his without permission. However, one who separates from his own property on behalf of others has properly separated truma. Third halacha. If someone begins to separate truma on behalf of his fellow without his permission, and his fellow comes into the field and sees what's happening, if he indicates acceptance of the separation, then the separation is valid. For example, if he says, "Take from the better crop," and in fact there is a better crop, that indicates acceptance. But the same expression could specifically indicate non-acceptance if there is no better crop. In other words, he's complaining. Why are you taking my good stuff? Also, if the owner adds what was separated, that constitutes acceptance. Fourth halacha. There are five that should not separate truma, and if they do separate, it is considered good truma. A deaf person who is not mute, someone who is mute but can hear, a person who is naked, a person who is drunk, and a person who is blind. The first three because they either cannot say or cannot hear the bracha, and the last two because they cannot make proper distinctions. Fifth halacha. If a minor is old enough to make vows, if he separates truma, the truma is considered proper truma. Sixth halacha. If a person designates an agent and tells him to separate truma for him, and then he does not know whether the agent separated truma for him, he may not assume that the agent did so, even if there is physical evidence that in fact the agent separated truma. Seventh halacha. An agent appointed to separate truma should do what the owner wants. If he knows that the owner is generous, he should separate generously. If he knows that the owner is miserly, he should separate 1 out of 60. If he does not know, he should separate 1 out of 50, which is the middle path. If he meant to separate 1 out of 50, but instead accidentally separates 1 out of 40 or 1 out of 60, the truma is considered valid. But if he intentionally gave more than what the owner wanted, this is not valid. Eighth halacha. Fruits owned in partnership are liable for truma, and it is not necessary to ask permission from the other partner. If both partners separated, not realizing that the other separated, then if they relied on one another, the separation is not effective. If they did not rely on one another, but the first one who separated, separated appropriately, then the second one's separation is of no consequence. If the first one did not separate sufficiently, then the second one is also considered valid. Ninth halacha. If someone sent an agent, but then nullified the agency, as long as the agent did what he was told, the separation is effective. But if the agent deviated at all, it is now ineffective. 10th halacha. If a sharecropper begins to separate truma and the owner comes and objects, if he objects before it was completed, then the separation is ineffective. But once the separation has occurred, any objection is ineffective. 11th halacha. Separation of truma by a thief is effective, so long as the owner of the crops has despaired of acquiring them again. 12th halacha. A worker, a servant, a child, or a wife should separate truma for what they're eating, but not for the entire crop. 13th halacha. Employees do not have licenses to separate for the field's owners, with the exception of those that are treading on grapes in a vat. The theory being that employees who are treading on grapes in a vat have been given agency over the grapes. 14th halacha. Immaterial deviations in the owner's instructions do not nullify an agent. So, for example, if he says, "Bring my granary in and separate the truma," but the agent separates and then brings the granary in, that's fine, it's effective. 15th halacha. If a non-Jew separates truma from his own produce, since the Torah does not command him to do this, it is not considered truma. This is according to the Torah. However, the rabbi said that it is considered truma. The concern being that perhaps a wealthy Jew hired a non-Jew to separate on his behalf as a form of trickery. The procedure would be that the non-Jew is cross-examined to determine why he separated truma. If he did so because he wanted to be like the Jews, then the truma would be given to a kohen. Otherwise, we assume he was trying to give it to God, and therefore the truma would have to be entombed. This only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we just tell him that this isn't truma. 16th halacha. If someone says separate truma, but he meant separate meiser, or if he says separate meiser and he meant separate truma, it is as if he said nothing. As is the case in oaths and vows, he has to say what he means. If he separates without saying anything, even though he should have said something, it is still considered proper truma. 17th halacha. If someone separates on condition and the condition was fulfilled, the separation is valid. If the condition was not fulfilled, the separation is not valid. If he separates truma and then regrets having done so, he should ask a sage, just like in the case of any other vows. He would then be required to separate once again. 18th halacha. If he separates from his cistern on the condition that his container ascends from the cistern intact, then what matters is whether the container broke or split. The condition has nothing to do with whether the wine becomes impure. If the container splits and the wine spills back into the cistern, it does not render the wine in the cistern meduma. Meduma, by the way, is a mixture of truma and non-truma. Since the condition was not met, the wine in the container is not considered truma. But if the container ascends intact and then he put it down, and then it breaks and the wine goes back into the cistern, it does render the wine within the cistern meduma. 19th halacha. The previous halacha applies to truma gedela, not to trumas meiser. As we said in the last chapter, trumas meiser can be separated from produce in one location for produce in a different location. So as soon as the container is no longer in the wine, this is considered a proper separation, even if the container breaks almost immediately thereafter. 20th halacha. If a person says what's in the upper part of this container is truma and what's in the lower part of this container is kulin, meaning not truma, or vice versa, this is effective. 21st and final halacha. When someone separates from the grain heap, he should have intent that the truma he separates is for the grain heap, the stalks of wheat that were cut and not threshed, and the grain on the side of the grain heap, and the kernels in the straw. Similarly, when he separates for wine in a cistern, he must have in mind that he's separating not only for the wine, but also for any wine that has been absorbed into the peat. And the law is the same for all analogous circumstances. When a person separates for figs that are in a basket, if there are figs that are out the side of the basket, we can assume that he intended to separate for them as well, and an additional separation is not necessary.